first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone.
Our Falcons are in the spotlight as they welcome in the Kansas City Chiefs.
And Dukes and Bell are setting the stage with Falcons Game Day.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It is going to be on tonight, Sunday Night Football, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, sold out building. It is Dukes and Bell on a Sunday afternoon. Thank you for being here, by the way, and thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We're on Monday through Friday, 2 until 7. Mike and I are sitting here in amazement because mistake after mistake has been made in the Eagles-Saints game, and we're right. Watching this because, again, the Saints are in our division. They're up next for us. We just beat the Eagles. We'd love to see the Eagles beat the Saints for us in the NFC, but, Mike, the Eagles just had a punt blocked.
Yeah, man, one of our buddies who's sitting right in front of us here at Nest goes, that's the stuff that gets you fired. You know, I was talking about Greg Sirianni, and yes, it does. You're on thin ice with Jeffrey Lurie, your owner. You just blew it on Monday Night Football. We'll take advantage of that. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts with two turnovers, a blocked punt, terrible decision-making, not taking points when they had a makeable field goal, going for it on a fourth and third. The Eagles are just, as we said last segment, there's just a momentum of bad decisions and bad juju, which is now following these guys, like a black cloud. You know, they're just really in a bad way right now.
No, it is.
The game is still very winnable.
Oh, that's the crazy thing. They have made all these mistakes and they're still down 3-0.
Right. But we're rooting for the Eagles to take out the Saints because we get a win here. You know, we'll be tied on record, not necessarily in conference, but certainly, you know, this is one that you just look at and you go, man. You're right. This could get Sirianni fired after week 3.
Mike, let's talk about what's going to go down tonight. Chiefs-Falcons. By the way, if you're wondering, we're at home, but we are the dog tonight. It's plus three, should I say, for the Falcons. Kirk Cousins, we know what he showed us last week. Everybody's feeling good. Mike said it. For the most part, we're healthy. There was some talk about, you know, a couple of guys getting some veteran rest this week.
Right. No big deal. Grady, right.
Yeah, no big deal. Here is the thing about how to attack this Chiefs defense, and we were talking about, you know, what we may see tonight. Guys, I think we're going to have an opportunity to score, not just field goals, but touchdowns. And, Mike, I think tonight one of the things the Falcons are going to try to do is take advantage of mismatches with their safeties. Listen, McDuffie's a hell of a player. He may be batched up with Drake London all game. I'm not sure how they're going to, you know, maneuver him. He is their best corner and an all-pro corner. But the rest of their secondary is suspect. And I think what Zach Robinson is going to attempt to do is create some mismatches with motion and different sets and formations and attempt to attack those safeties. And that's why I said tonight may be a night where we see Kyle Pitts do some things, because that is a mismatch with Pitts on the safety. Or for that matter, even a Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? On a safety. Taking the top off. I think they will attempt to do a lot of this tonight, especially in the passing game.
We've been talking about, you know, this very strange start to the season. We weren't ready, like a lot of teams were really flat in week 1. We didn't have our preseason for our offensive coordinator to get in a rhythm with Kirk Cousins. And I think they were a little worried about, obviously, his health. So we went with some stuff, which I don't think we're going to see as much of, that, you know, pistol and that shotgun.
Yeah.
We got into what I think Falcon fans are expecting to see on Monday night, the play action, him with those stretch run plays, putting the ball in the running back's hands, and then delivering. Look, the two-minute drill, that's one for the ages. As we said, Falcon fans are not used to winning a game like that on national television. But now, can I do it for 4 quarters?
Can
Kirk Cousins come out, and even if he's still not technically 100%, whether it's 100% me being in his Kirkiness or 100% because of his Achilles, but can you get that thing off the ground? Get down the field, get the drive. Imagine if we scored the touchdown against Pittsburgh the first series.
I know.
Changes the whole complexion of the game. We didn't. In this case, we talked. You mentioned Pitts. When is Pitts going to be the mismatch we thought he was going to be?
I think you could see it tonight, Mike. I really do. And Dom back at the studio. Let's play a little bit of Drake London, because Drake is also, you know, I think, have a prominent role with how we attack this secondary with the Chiefs tonight. Chiefs, Falcons, Sunday Night Football. And Drake London was talking about, you know, being on prime time, and, you know, it's another opportunity. I don't think you downplay this, but, Mike, if we win this game, you're going to see a lot of Falcon conversation around the country, because back-to-back weeks of Eagles on the road and then coming home to take on the Chiefs, the world champs. Can I hear Drake London talk about this primetime game?
It's amazing. Again, this is another step for us to build and to keep on going in the right direction, and I'm excited to get to Sunday and definitely play in primetime.
Now, one of the things Mike and I have not really discussed, and, you know, Arthur Blank's going to be honored tonight. We had Arthur Blank, our owner, on the show, I think it was Thursday.
Yep.
He came on, and we love the guy. I mean, he's been great to us. We know how important it is to him for the things that he's done for this city. And Drake was asked this question. And Dom back at the studio, let me hear Drake London talk about what Arthur Blank has meant, because he will be honored tonight.
I mean, from day one since I stepped in here, this is my personal thoughts on him. I mean, he's a total player's person, like coaches too as well. And then, I mean, you see what he does at the stadium with pricing of food and stuff like that, all around Atlanta, really. And he encouraged us to go out there and give back to the community. So, I mean, I could only imagine what he was like in his younger days, and who he was and what he meant to a lot of people. And for him to come in here, especially when I was here earlier, just to be the person that he is, just the humble guy he is, it means a lot. So he deserves every single bit of getting into the Ring of Honor for sure.
And that's it, man. That's, you know, we talked about in the old days, Carl, in the early 2000s, whenever there was a free agent that was out there, we used to joke around about ABC, Arthur Blank closes, because guys would come in and they sat down with Arthur Blank. They signed here in Atlanta. Now, some of those guys didn't always pan out, but,
yeah.
But we always had the ability to get guys in here. We talked about the upgrades at the facilities. Talked about, you know, when he first took over from the Smith family. Let's get some fannies in the seats. You know, I'm sure a lot of other NFL owners weren't happy that Arthur Blank was charging $10 for the 300 level. And then all of a sudden, a new generation of Falcon fans came here with Mike Vick and filled it up. And those guys are still here.
You're right.
You know, and that's why we're waiting. That's why, you know, it's been so tough for Matt Ryan, because there's a level of style that people want to see along with the winning football. And we think we got an offense, which, again, if Cousins continues to progress and get better and Zach makes better decisions with the play calling, this is the team that you wanted to see. How many years, Carl, we always watch Sunday Night Football or we watch Monday Night Football, like, I want to be that team. You know, I mean, we're never that team. This year we're going to hopefully be that team. It continues tonight.
Yeah, and just for us, I mean, Mike, we had him on, like we said. You can go check out the interview on Odyssey.com. We're live downtown, guys, at the Signia Hilton, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But the thing for me, and people ask this all the time, like, what's Arthur Blank like?
Guy's regular dude.
Yeah, but outside him being a billionaire, you mean?
Right.
The person and the human he is even more compelling to me than the business person he's become. Like, being, you know, having business acumen, Mike, and being smart with Home Depot and all the things he's built in his career, that's one thing. But he's always given back. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of rich guys that don't do half of what Arthur Blank has done, okay? And when I say rich, I'm talking about extremely wealthy. There are a ton of those guys who have not done two-thirds, a third, or what Arthur Blank has done for the city of Atlanta. And for me, that screams volumes. He talks about his legacy, and he's aware of his legacy, but he's not doing this to impress. This is who he is at heart, wanting to help individuals, help people. And I think, to me, that's, if you ask me anything about Arthur Blank, that's what stands out to me.
Well, I mean, the Children's Healthcare, you guys, if you drive up 85, you've seen this hospital being built. It's one of the largest hospitals in the South, largest hospital in the state. Arthur talked to me, so proud of it, talked about, you see his name on it. And we've talked about, you know, his legacy, you know, building this stadium specifically with soccer in mind. And then, you know, Atlanta United. Now, I know it's been hard times for United subsequently, but we had a championship in our second year because he spent the money. You know, he's willing to do things other owners weren't. And then the legacy now, we're going to have World Cup. And we just talked about, you know, this hotel is here in part because Arthur Blank builds this stadium.
That's right.
Everything kind of dovetails. And as you said, the commitment to the community has always been there. And, you know, as we said, we've always had a great relationship with him. You know, he's like just a fun guy to talk to. And look, I think most Falcon fans out there, nobody wants to see, if there's an owner out there you'd love to see get that ring, it's Arthur. Because nobody was, as much as we were crushed and you guys were crushed, Arthur on the sideline those last 5 minutes. And then the game goes to overtime. It's Super Bowl 51. I mean, for a guy that, you know, that's the only thing missing from, let's be honest, from his crown. That's the jewel that's missing right now.
All right, it's Dukes and Bell. As we talk about all the things that are going to take place tonight, that's one of them. Arthur Blank, our owner, going into the Ring of Honor.
Just saw Gerald Riggs here, if you missed our last segment. Gerald, a lot of the former honorees will be here on site tonight at Mercedes-Benz.
He was a hell of a player, by the way. People forget.
Oh, yeah.
Gerald Riggs was a heck of a player, man. As far as tonight is concerned, and we'll talk to Russell Baxter coming up here in less than 10 minutes, NFL writer for Fanside. We'll go around the league with him and talk about this game tonight as well. But Mahomes, Mike, whether Falcon fans want to realize this or not, they're two plays away from being 0-2. Now, the NFL is that way. We just talked about this game with the Eagles and the Saints. Eagles, as many mistakes as they made, they can still pull this game out and win today. But Mahomes is two plays away from being 0-2. Mike, three touchdowns, three interceptions. He's just averaging 220 yards throwing the football. He's not averaging 350 or 375. He said this week, I have to be better. they are not coming in here like what you've seen in years past where this offense was just humming. Right. And I only bring that up to say, like, understand that. This is not, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do against the Chiefs? We can win this game, and we should.
Well, that's the thing about the Monday night win, you know, and how we did it. You got a feeling that, you know, Kirk is going to keep us in these games. Our defense is better, one of the best defenses we've had since arguably 17 right now, and it's still not as effective getting after the quarterback as Mark Ramondi pointed out. They've got to tighten that up because we've got to get Mahomes. Keep us, you know, keep contained. But then there's always just the special sauce, The ability to avoid the rush, the buy time, to get outside the hash marks, receivers coming back, the improvisational nature. Guys have seen it. He's won Super Bowls with it. He's won regular season games with it. But you're right. They're not exactly humming. The penalty, like the penalty was the penalty. It was pass interference against the Bengals. Bengals can bellyache all they want. They jumped over the back of the receiver. It was the right call. But you're right. That's the NFL. So close from that being a loss for the Chiefs. Still, though. Worried about, you know, you're just worried about the boogeyman because that's what Mahomes is. How much are you worried about Chris Jones and that defensive line, Karlaftis, getting after our guys? You think we've got, certainly against the Eagles, man, they couldn't get after Kirk Cousins.
No, and this offensive line did a hell of a job of protecting. If they do any of that, if they come close to what they did last week as far as protection, look, I think we give up a sack. It's just the nature of it. I mean, you're not going to hold Chris Jones down the entire game. But you can't allow him to disrupt the game in a way. You know my sayings. Strip sack! Pick six! Like, you can't have those things happen where all of a sudden he's been so disruptive, Mike, that it's the ball game. I do think we do a good job of blocking him up and scheming for him, knowing what a difference maker he is. But it's going to be fun to watch, man. Tonight, right here, you'll listen to the game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. Russell Batcher is going to join us, NFL writer for Fanside, as we're broadcasting live from the Signia Hilton Hotel right here across the street
at
from Mercedes-Benz.
Stolen one.
Back to more of our live Falcons game day coverage
with Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell, we're live downtown getting ready for tonight's Sunday night football matchup. Our Falcons taking on the Chiefs. By the way, tomorrow, Falcon Monday, Mike and I will be on 2 until 6, and then we'll have the coaches show, Raheem Morris, depending on how this thing plays out tomorrow. Either way, he will be on, but Mike, I hope we're talking about a dub.
We'll be Matthew Judon as the player guest with 2 sacks. We'll be Kyle Pitts with a touchdown, 100-yard day. Maybe just Bijan. Man, we'll kind of get used to him doing his thing. By the way, speaking of All-Stars, hats off to the kitchen here at the Nest on 4th.
Good stuff.
During the commercial break, Carl and I sampled the goods.
Good
and
stuff.
And they're good. Lemon pepper wings, rock solid. I know you had the beef stew. Yum.
Yeah, it is.
Good sports bar food, man. More than that, it's delicious.
It really is. And they're busy today, but the service has been good. So come check this place out, man. It's really cool. With that, let's talk to Russell Baxter, Mike. Friend of the show, NFL writer for Fanside. He's been covering the league for a long time. And Russell, you know, we were talking about this matchup. I want to get your thoughts just on the Chiefs. One of the things I've been saying all week is, you know, yes, they're 2-0, but they're 2 plays away from being 0-2. I mean, you had a reverse call in the Ravens game, the video review that, you know, they escape. You had the pass interference last week. The games play out the way they play out. They are 2-0, but this doesn't feel like the Chiefs are beating people up and you're so fearful of what they're doing offensively.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm just going to go back to last year's Chiefs. Which, well, you know, Patrick Jones, you know, didn't have the year of years. And if it weren't for Steve Spagnuolo's defense, we'd probably be talking a different story. I mean, they really kind of rose up in the playoffs after a pretty decent season. I mean, you know, remember on Christmas, the Raiders went into Kansas City and pushed the Chiefs around. You know, they were, I want to say at one time during the regular season, that I think they were 5-5 in their last 10 regular season games. Pretty mediocre and just knew how to win playoff games. And this year, what bothers me a little about them is, okay, they've had the occasional big play, but where is the defense? I mean, Baltimore moved the ball up and down the field on that. And, you know, we know one foot now equals one toenail. it's a new thing. And, you know, and it was the right pass interference call in the Bengals game. I agree with that. But
right.
Cincinnati didn't seem very intimidated. They moved the ball. I mean, you know, they've had their way with the Chiefs defense over, you know, the last couple of years, especially when Burrow plays and so on. So I agree with you. I think this team is very much for the taking. And, you know, it's not like the Chiefs are coming off 15-2. They're coming off 11-6. And, you know, two skate backs so far. And listen, that's what, you know, you've heard the adage so many times that, you know, great teams aren't always great. They're great when they have to be. The Chiefs have been great when they had to be. And now, all of a sudden, if you go back to late last year, they've won 8 straight games. So,
yeah, we've.
But if last week's win at Philadelphia wasn't a confidence builder with the Falcons, I don't know what you call it.
And that's the thing we said about those guys. Remember the Giants with Eli? They always seem to have a way to throw the switch with a great defense, and they can be really mediocre over the regular season. Patrick Mahomes, because of the things he can do, and certainly they got, you know, elite defense, Chris Jones. What do you think, though, about our team, Kirk Cousins? We said week one we just weren't ready for prime time because of the injuries, and, you know, we never got into a rhythm against the Steelers. T.J. Watt had something to do with that. But obviously the amazing comeback. We now feel like if Kirk Cousins at 90% or whatever it is can do that, we can hang with anybody on this schedule.
Listen, you watch out as the season unfolds. And, you know, I've said this for a number of years because of the way the preseason and training camp is handled now. The first 3 or 4 games of the season almost seem like the old preseason when you play 4 preseason games. But you have watched other teams start out slow. I mean, the perfect example is what we saw with the Jets on Thursday. They got pushed around by the 49ers. They survived the Titans. They had to come back in the second half to do it. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if people realize that they outgained the Patriots 400-139 on Thursday. So I would say that's a fairly dominant performance. You saw Aaron Rodgers mobile, and I think Kirk Cousins was a little more comfortable after the week one game. So all these teams are really kind of works in progress. And you just never know what you're going to get. I'm watching it right now, is a team that scored 91 points in the first 2 games of the season has a field goal in the fourth quarter.
Right.
That's true.
We're watching this Saints game, and I mean, it's unbelievable. You're right.
Anyone who tells you you know what the hell they're talking about, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. That's how this league is. Denver stunk up the joint the first 2 games. I mean, you know, if it weren't for a couple of safeties, goodness knows what would have happened to them against the Seahawks, okay? Last week, end zone pick by Bo Nix, they're pushing Tampa Bay around today. So, I mean, you know, and seeing that, the thing about this league right now with the Chiefs, while everybody else is trying to sort out who they are, the Chiefs get this, make this play here, they make play here. It reminds me in some way of the early Patriots, not the Patriots of the latter years, but the Patriots when they were winning those 3 Super Bowls in 4 years and doing it with defense and special teams. One of my favorite stats of all time is the New England Patriots winning a Super Bowl in 2001 with their offense scoring 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games.
Wow.
Their defense and special teams guys scored 3 touchdowns in 3 playoff games, and they walked away with a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, it just goes to show you. Russell Baxter's been covering the NFL for a long time, writer, historian. He writes for Fanside NFL as well. It just goes to show you, you know, sometimes you just need things to go your way. I kind of want to go around the league with you because there are questions that seem to be being answered right now. Like, oh, I don't know, Sam Darnold's a bust. And all of a sudden now, with Kevin O'Connell as his head coach at Minnesota, they're leading today, and they're in the red zone as we speak. They're beating the Houston Texans 21-7 today. Sam Darnold looks like he's been revitalized, and all of a sudden he doesn't look like a bust, does he, Russell?
Well, listen, you just made me think of something. Apparently, the team that does a better job of drafting quarterbacks and letting them develop over 7 or 8 years is the New York Jets. Okay?
Right.
Geno Smith was a disaster. Then you went to Seattle. NFL Comeback Player of the Year a couple of years ago.
True.
Sam Darnold, 3rd overall pick by the Jets in 2018. Bounced around the league. He might be the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. You know? So
yeah.
If you're the Jets, the problem, I guess, with the Jets is they get these guys too early. Okay?
Right.
So they just have to let them sit on the bench for 6 or 7 years, and then they'll come into their own. It is kind of wild. I mean, but it just goes to show you that this league is not all about the quarterback. It's about being balanced. It's about offense and defense. It's about offensive lines. And I know people don't want to hear that because, you know, very few fantasy leagues give you grades for offensive lines. I have to play in one that does, by the way. So I just think it's very fascinating as this game, this year we are seeing revival of the running back. We are seeing less 300-yard passing games. And I don't know if that's going to change 7 or 8 weeks into the season, okay? Some of these teams have really good formulas for success. And the success, and I said this before and I'll say it again, the greatest offensive mind in NFL history was Mr. Miyagi, because he always stressed balance to Danielson.
It is Russell Baxter with us, guys, NFL writer for FanSided here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. It's Dukes and Bell, a special show edition for Falcons Chiefs here live at the Nest here at Signia on the fourth floor. The thing about the NFL, I heard Mel Kiper say one of the dumbest things he said. He said a lot of dumb things. Like, love his analysis, Carl, with the draft, but we have to ban the two high safeties now in the NFL. No, we got to get better quarterback play, to Russell's point. Now, we've got a guy that has been around the league. He's a guy that we think energizes, because you just talked about the quarterback conundrum. We've had 2 years of just quarterback hell with Mariota and Desmond Ridder. Do you think it's realistic for us to get the 30 touchdowns, basically his football card, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns from Kirk this year?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I really felt bad. I love the fact that they went out and got Rondale Moore in that trade, and of course he's not going to play this season. But they're still pretty stacked weapon-wise and so on. And what Bijan Robinson gives you as a runner and a receiver. Remember, I mean, the Falcons, I don't think there's any question, probably one of the top five offensive lines in the league. This is a balanced football team. And they can beat you a couple different ways. And, you know, their perseverance on Monday night on the road, I thought was absolutely huge. And, you know, to slip into 0-2, and we know all the numbers in terms of missing the playoffs and making the playoffs when you're 0-2 and 2-0 and so on. I think that's very, very possible. But it's also possible that Kirk Cousins gets 25 touchdown passes and Bijan Robinson has a dozen touchdowns. Okay, I mean, you look at, last year, Tua Tagovailoa led the league in passing yards. Now he threw 29, he just missed. But Raheem Mostert scored 20 touchdowns last year. So it's the old, it's the old thing from 30 years ago. Gee, how really good is Troy Aikman? Okay. Because Emmitt Smith only scored the second most touchdowns in history of the NFL.
Right. It's a great point. It is. We're talking with Russell Baxter, guys, going around the NFL. By the way, Denver is up on Tampa Bay 26-7 as we speak as well. That may be a somewhat of a surprise. And Green Bay winning without Jordan Love again today. It's not over. 8:55 to play, but they're up on Tennessee 27-14. Tell us what you think happens tonight in this game, Russell, before we let you go. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs-Falcons. What do you think?
I think Atlanta's got an excellent shot here, and I think a lot of momentum from last week. And I think the Chiefs last week, and even in the first game against Baltimore, they played very uneven football right now. I mean, I understood the first Falcons loss. Arthur Smith's familiar with personnel. Kirk Cousins' first game back in a long time. That's a different beast than what's going to, I think, happen tonight. And I actually like Atlanta. I'm thinking maybe like a 23-19 game tonight. And maybe it's three field goals and two touchdowns. But I haven't been impressed with Kansas City's defense yet. And I think Atlanta can exploit that with their balance.
I like it. And that means the under. We've been asking all our experts today over under. Russ is taking the under. Hey, Russ, before we do cut you loose, we'll go real quick, rapid fire around the league. Will the Carolina Panthers trade Bryce Young?
I think it's far too soon to make that decision. But then again, I don't own the team, if you know what I mean.
Yes, you're right.
Hey, the Dolphins would be a team. Is Tua going to come back and play, or is he going to is it 50-50 on retirement, or he's going to come back?
I think it would behoove him to make a decision sooner than later. But he's got 4 weeks. He has to sit out at least four games and so on. And I find it hard to believe he doesn't want to even give it a try. But then again, you don't know what's going to happen in 4 weeks. And we have seen, for various reasons, not necessarily because of concussions and so on, we have seen younger players walk away from this game sooner than you would think. Okay? Andrew Luck, right, after taking a beating for a long time. Luke Kuechly left Carolina. You know, it's just Patrick Willis, you know, start to wear
49ers.
Down. Fair year. I mean, he just won the Hall of Fame. I think he's only like 40 years old. He's one of the youngest guys to ever go in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it's different now. We're more aware of things and stuff. And so I think, you know, and I don't know him or anything like that, but I would think his desire would be to at least see if he can still play. But, you know, like I said, it's his decision. It's probably the decision of some people in his family as well.
Before we let you go, just to get our fans and our listeners updated, costly day for the Chargers. So former Falcon quarterback Taylor Heinicke is in the game in Pittsburgh. Steelers are leading 20-10. So Herbert is out because he re-injured that high ankle sprain in a play in the third quarter. He got sacked, and this was the danger of playing him today. So he's been on the bench. Heinicke's playing, and Joe Alt just got hurt, which is their tackle.
Damn.
Oof. And he just left. So for the Chargers, and again, don't know the extent of that injury, but that's costly.
Brutal trip.
So, hey, Russell, great job as always, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Hey, enjoy the game tonight. It's a day of interconference games. Did you notice the schedule this week? 10 of the 16 were AFC versus NFC.
It's true. Yeah, no doubt. Russell Baxter, guys, check him out. Follow him on social media. He does a great job. And also NFL historian, as you heard there.
Well, maybe we'll have the Interconference Championship belt tonight, Carl, as we take on the Chiefs. You heard that? The old Intercontinental title. Yeah, man, he likes the under. You know, we couldn't get that out of Mark Ramondi from ESPN, but you've been bringing up a great point. A lot of guys agree. The Chiefs' defense is not what you think it is just yet. Not yet.
It's where we can take advantage. And I think sometimes we think about Super Bowls and winning these Super Bowls, and we've watched the Chiefs be in these big games over the last few years.
Right.
This is not the 2021 Chiefs or 2020 Chiefs for that matter.
Right.
It's a different team.
Still got Patrick Mahomes, though. That's a secret weapon.
Well, they do, but can they protect him?
Right.
They have offensive line issues. I mean, these are things we should be able to exploit. If we don't take advantage of that, Mike, they benched their tackle, and they're starting a new guy who has 2 years of experience. If we can't take advantage of that, we're not doing our job.
I think, Matthew Judon, you should be eating, son. We're hanging out here live, guys, at the Nest. Great vibe. Everybody rooting for the Eagles to beat the Saints. Those Saints we'll see next week, by the way. But the Nest on the fourth floor here at Signia, beautiful hotel on Northside, Carl. It's popping right now.
That it is, man. We're coming back. We're going to wrap things up. We'll tell you what we think happens before we hand things over to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Stay right there.
Now. First down and 10. Here comes Atlanta now.
Tonight, it's Falcons, Chiefs.
And Dukes and Bell have it all covered live with Falcons Game Day.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Last segment of the day for us, but we got a lot of pregame coming up. Wade Ford Tailgate Show, 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for that. Of course, the Falcon pregame show, Wes and Arch.
That's Wes Trueham.
And Arch, getting you ready for tonight's contest, Sunday Night Football. I'll say this, man, and we've been sitting here. By the way, the setting is great. We got a lot of Falcon fans in here, a lot of Chiefs fans obviously here as well.
That's some cool listeners, too, man. A lot of our folks came out. I know it's an unusual routine with an 8-hour tailgate window. Thanks to everyone who came up here to the Nest on 4 here at Signia.
You're absolutely right, Mike. We were just sitting here. This game is crazy. This is why I love the NFL, man. Fourth quarter, 4:55 to play. Eagles are winning 7-6. And they just told me, because we were doing, obviously, we've been focused on the show. Nick Sirianni just tried to kick a 62-yarder? A 62-yarder?
That's my kicker, too, by the way.
And he had an opportunity earlier in the game to kick, what, a 27-yarder and a 30-something-yarder?
I mean,
And he passed it up and went for it on fourth down. These are the decisions, Mike.
I mean, Sirianni, like I said, it's just when it rains, it pours. If you're an Eagles fan, as we said, just the bad decisions kind of just create their own momentum, and they just kind of keep going. And I've got Jake Elliott. I could have used those freaking points. I got a fantasy kicker. I got one stinking point from today. So I'm getting smoked right now.
Yeah.
But this Eagles game, if I told you 13 points, as we just talked about,
crazy,
talking to Russell Baxter from Fanside, that's the most prolific offense the first 2 weeks of the season, and they're just absolutely anemic. And it's good luck. I know it's we're Falcon fans. We want to see the Saints take it in the shorts, but we'll see if the Eagles can hang out as Derek Carr is trying to drive it with 5 minutes left.
By the way, Steelers are going to win this game against the Chargers. We talked about this being a statement game. Mm. Now, Herbert gets hurt in the third quarter. He's out. But Justin Fields and the Steelers, Mike, are 3-0.
Hey, Arthur Smith, you know, the knock was initially that Terry Fontenot and or Arthur Smith did not want him with that fourth overall pick. Remember, you were pimping for Fields back in that draft.
Sure.
And now he's got a guy, and Russell brought up a point about sometimes it takes you your second place to get some traction. Either way, it's the Arthur Smith game plan. It seems to fit the two tight end sets, high percentage throws, Najee Harris and company running the ball. It's just a really clean, kind of low-risk game that Tomlin loves that Justin Fields is giving him right now.
Yeah. So time is running out. Fields is going over to say shake hands with Herbert. We hope Herbert's okay. Listen, the league needs these star quarterbacks.
High ankle sprain is, you know how long that takes. And if he re-aggravates it, that could be a few more weeks. Our old Taylor Heinicke was in the game for the Chargers.
He took some punishment, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sacked like 3 times, I think, in this game once he came in. But bottom line is they are 3-0. And, listen, I still believe in the Chargers. If, in fact, they get healthy,
right?
There's a chance they might have lost their left tackle and Joe Alt as well. But we're going to see how that turns out as far as the injuries are concerned. All right, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, before we get out of here, a big shout-out to Jersey Mike, our on-site engineer, Axa, who's been here all day with us. Obviously, back at the studio, Dom, thank you for all the hard work. And Chris, our executive producer, we call him Turtle during the week. He helped put this show together here on a Sunday. So, man, what are we talking about tomorrow? Because this is, I think, the biggest game of the weekend as far as NFL is concerned because of the circumstances. Falcons coming off that emotional win. A lot of people around the country getting a chance to see us on Monday night. And then the Chiefs, who are 2-0, and they just bring something to the party, right?
Right?
It's the Chiefs.
As we said, even when they look, and we've talked a lot about it the last few weeks, how awful they looked that Christmas game against the Raiders. Remember, the Raiders really punked him at Arrowhead.
It hit.
And they're able to kind of throw that switch, get it in gear. Look, we know they're going to come up and try to exploit some things. What are they looking for? A mismatch in our secondary? I'm worried about Xavier Worthy because, inside, on that track. By the way, roof's open tonight. It's going to be electric atmosphere.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that. We didn't mention that. Yes.
Arthur Blank being honored tonight, and this is the stadium he wanted. I want that roof to open. So we'll have the roof open for Kansas City fans. So it's going to be a little steamy. So any Kansas City fans here, you might want to go back in your hotel room and get some shorts because it's going to be hot. But anyway, we're hanging out, and we're looking, hopefully talking about, I don't know if it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I kind of feel that way. Everyone else kind of thinks it's going the other way. But the Falcons have shown through Kirk Cousins in that amazing 2-minute drive on Monday Night Football, you just have a feeling of confidence that they can hang with everybody. And we're still not even close to being 100% and exploring all our options. Looks like a touchdown, 2 feet in for the Saints to take the lead on the Eagles.
The Eagles have made too many mistakes. Look, they could still win the game, but they've made way too many mistakes today against this Saints team. And you said it. We want to see the Saints taken in the shorts. I just feel like they kept giving him opportunities, and Mike, I guess they've just taken advantage of one. Who is that, Olave?
Yep, Chris Olave. Meanwhile, Indianapolis and the Bears, basically almost two rookie quarterbacks, because Anthony Richardson got cut down in the middle of last season. But Caleb Williams and the Bears offense struggling to put some points on the board. A low-scoring affair up in Indy. Colts got the lead right now.
When we win this game tonight, what's it do for your confidence? What's it tell you about where this team could potentially be if we win this game tonight? Because, Mike, that means we would be going into the Saints game, and you've been talking about 2-2, that we could be looking at 3-1.
Now we're ahead of schedule.
Correct.
Look, we weren't ready for prime time like a lot of teams in week one. Just is what it is. The rush factor, Zach kind of getting his way in as offensive coordinator, fine. Now you feel, if you can get a win against Kansas City, what it means, as far as to the rest of the fan base. Atlanta, for guys who don't know, we've always got fans that are kind of drifting in on the fence.
That's right.
I don't know about this. This one would certainly go a long way to having people feel we're real Super Bowl contenders. I just think, and Carl, you've been touching on it all day, the argument that Chiefs defense, it's living off its rep, but it's not there yet this year. We're physical.
We are.
Remember last week the narrative about all those Georgia Bulldogs and Philly? And we went up there, and we kept, for the most part, only one sack on Kirk Cousins. Kept him clean. We ran the football. We established our tempo. Late in the game, they couldn't answer it. I just want to see that kind of game. But again, Pitts in the end zone. Bijan getting that first touchdown of the year. If Bijan and Pitts both score, we win this game, period.
I truly believe.
Maybe your boy Mooney. And by the way, talk about your shirt real quick.
Well, a listener sent me this shirt. It says, "What's up, Darnell? We love our listeners." Mike and I talk about this. Whenever we're out and about, people bring us stuff, and we don't ask for any of this stuff, but you guys connect with the show and you listen to us. Mm-hmm. But a guy sent this to me, and I told him I was going to wear it today because, you know, this started when we acquired Darnell Mooney, and Mike said, "Who is Darnell Mooney?" I said, "From this point on, every time we talk about Darnell, I'm going to say, what's up, Darnell?" Darnell has arguably the biggest touchdown last week with the flip into the end zone that really put us up on that game in that game against the Eagles. But I've been saying all offseason and into camp, he's going to be a significant player on this offense. So as you see this playing out, we're seeing him make some impact. But guy sent this to me, so I told him I was going to rep it today and wear it. We hope Darnell has a great game. I'm just hoping, Mike, again, let's play clean. Let's get off the field when we need to. But I was going to get back to your Bijan Robinson. Look, Bijan had 97 yards against that Eagles defense. What, 14 carries, 15 carries?
Right.
He's going to go over 100 yards today.
Okay.
He's going to go over 100 yards.
I like that kind of potting.
And he's going to get into the end zone. Yo, B is going to get into the end zone tonight.
All right, let's just talk about the elephant in the room with a hot girlfriend. Kelsey's been ice cold to start this season.
He has.
Kelsey's not going to get right against us, is he?
I think
Kelsey's been real lukewarm right now.
Here's what I would tell you. I think we have the safeties to contain him. Mike, we're not going to stop Jason Kelce. Listen, I said this. Here's a guy.
Travis, yeah.
He's going to catch his balls. But I do think that with Jesse Bates and Simmons, we have two guys that can match up against him. If you want to go that route and say, hey, we're just going to match up our safeties on him, and that's how we're going to cover him. We're not going to put a smaller cornerback on him.
Right.
Clark Phillips is not defending Kelce, okay?
Now, again, if we bracket, that opens things up. I mentioned Xavier Worthy just because he's a burner and it's an indoor stadium and, you know, it's fast track. Hopefully we can find a way to keep him off the field because his coming out party against the Ravens, that was like, damn, look at this guy.
It was.
That's an athlete. But we've got some athletes, too. And Bijan, you talked about it. Maybe Darnell Mooney gets another touchdown, man.
What?
Using that speed, I'm over the top.
Listen, you got to take some shots. If Kirk feels comfortable, which I think he did at the end of the game, take some shots early to open this thing up. Don't wait in this game to take shots. Take shots and let them know we're willing to go there.
Right.
And then that's going to open up that middle up the field, Mike, and you know who that opens up? Kyle Pitts.
Right.
Now you're running Bijan. You got Pitts catching balls in the middle, and now all of a sudden Drake gets involved. See, that's a different feel than just run right, run left, pistol. That's what we did in week one. We're not doing that again.
No, again, I just think that really truly was like almost a bad preseason game in essence for a number of reasons. The Chiefs guys are a 3-point favorite. The over-under is 46.5.
Too much?
Most of our experts feel it's going lower. I just, in my mind, I had a 27-21 in my mind.
Okay.
In my mind.
That didn't get you there, does it?
I
does
got
it?
A 27-21.
That gets you to 46?
That's 48. Okay. I went to Florida State. I can do that math.
That's
48.
True.
It gets me over. That would get me over by a point and a half. I just feel like I see some points on the board tonight. I don't know. Hope I do. Hope we win. Hope we're talking Monday about an amazing, you know, again, you beat the Eagles and the Chiefs, as you said. When we looked at that schedule, we knew what a beast this schedule was going to be.
Daunting.
You know, and look, the Chiefs have won two games. And I don't think, look, it's you said this earlier, it's such a fine margin for error in the NFL. And, yeah, the Bengals, they had a penalty. You know, the Ravens, next time wear white cleats. Maybe you get that touchdown. But it's still a team that, you're right, we don't want to make them into Superman. We can't beat them. But we know with Patrick Mahomes buying time and you can't get him and you can't keep contained, that's the scary, as it always is when you play these guys.
But here's the other part of this, and we're going to be up against it here. We're going to get out of the way for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show again. Big shout-out to everybody that came out. Here's the thing, Mike. You keep him off the field with long drives and running the football. You don't have to worry about Mahomes having all these scoring opportunities if you're keeping him off the field. And that's why I think Bijan Robinson tonight is going to have 100 yards. But that's not to say Tyler Allgeier won't get his carries as well.
Right.
They've done a great job, at least last week. Zach did a really good job of the balance of those two guys. All right, Dom, I don't know if you have our out or not, but we need to get out of here, man, and make way for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. It's coming your way. Again, John Fricke, Joe Patrick, They are broadcasting live right across the street from where we're at right here.
Wait for it, tailgate.
Yeah.
Right on the north side. Again, you mentioned it. Thanks to Jersey Mike, the Dominator, for running the show today. Great job for Jersey Mike here on location. Thanks to the staff. First time here at the Nest.
Yeah, sweet.
I mean, I know it's a brand new location. A lot of Falcon fans saying, damn, food's great. The bar, the vibe, the view of the stadium. This place is popping. It's going to be something on game nights. Can't imagine what it's going to be like when the World Cup is here. It's going to be nuts.
No doubt. All right. Real quick before we get out of here. Falcon fans, can y'all hear me? Falcon fans. Falcon fans, rise up. Make some noise, Falcon fans. Make some noise. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to get amped in here. It's going to turn up tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And free hot dogs, even for the Chiefs fans.
Yeah, and congratulations to Arthur Blank, by the way, going into the Ring of Honor. All right, Mike, we win tonight, right? We win?
Dude, I got nightmares of Mahomes getting outside the hash marks and then all that stuff where they improvise and the guys come back to him. I mean, just we got to score some points. We got to be the hammer, not the nail. We got to get this thing where they're down a score. We can use our defense. So I'm going to say 27-21, Falcons.
All right, we win tonight. I don't know if we cover. I don't even care. Half a point. It
I'm
doesn't
going
matter.
Over. I'm taking the over.
We win tonight. We'll talk about it with you tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Stay tuned. Wait for tailgate shows coming up. Hey, if you love the show.
Tell your friends.
If you don't.
You're an idiot like me and you started Anthony Richardson. Ugh.